Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We want to look at the doctrine of baptisms, and we want to read something from the book of Exodus chapter 12. We have been looking at baptism by the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit have you all been baptized into one body. So the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus Christ. That is how come we get to be in Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who takes us and dips us or baptizes us into the Lord Jesus. Are you excited that you are in Jesus?
Yeah.
It's good. It's wonderful. It's perfect. That's where we need to be. Nowhere else but in the Lord. And we started to look at the result of this baptism. We say that you become a new creation. You become a new creation, a brand new creation. That is how God views you. If you are a believer, that is how God sees you. You are a new person all together. If there is one word that we can use to describe baptism, I am sure that it is going to be the word oneness. Through baptism, we obtain oneness with Jesus Christ and with what we are baptized into. Now, Exodus chapter 12, and then we will read at verse 9. That will be our opening scripture for today. Exodus 12, verse 9. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, with the putinans thereof, or the entrails. That's the inside things. You know, the Bible is describing the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb that Israel were commanded through Moses to sacrifice. And they were to use the blood to smear the doorposts and the lintel of their houses so that the angel of death will pass over them. Now, the Bible makes us to understand in the book of Corinthians that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. In other words, Jesus Christ is the one who fulfills Exodus chapter 12. He is a Passover lamb. How does he fulfill it? Very powerful way he fulfills it. Because if you read Exodus chapter 12 and then at verse 3, the Bible says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house, a lamb for a family." Okay, and this was supposed to be on the 10th day. Now, if you can get down with me to the 6th verse, it says, "And you shall keep it," that is a lamb, "you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month." So, in the 10th day of the month, you take the lamb and then you keep it in your house. Every family should keep the lamb in their house and wait for the 14th day. That makes it 5 days where the Lamb of God is examined. Okay, that is the purpose of keeping the lamb in their houses. They were supposed to examine the lamb because this lamb is supposed to be without spot and without blemish. So from the 10th day to the 14th day is 5 days. Five is a number of grace. Okay, so Israel had a grace period, so to speak, of 5 days to examine the lamb before they killed the lamb. Now, in Jesus Christ fulfilling this, we are told in the word of God that he entered Jerusalem on a day that he entered Jerusalem. It took him 5 days before he was killed in fulfillment of this instruction that God gave to Israel through Moses. Okay, so during the 5 days, Israel examine Jesus Christ to see whether he had any spot or any blemish. So if you read the Bible, in the Gospels, the Pharisees examine him, the Sadducees examine him, everybody examined him to see whether there was any spot or wrinkle or spot in him. They could not find anything, so they hired false accusers to accuse him, that by all means there is some fault in him, so that they can kill him. In the book of John chapter 12, the Bible makes us to know, at the time Jesus Christ died, it was their time of preparation. This was, in the Jewish culture, the preparation of the lamb to be killed for every family to make use of, to eat up that lamb. So, at the time that Jesus Christ died in the evening, all over in Israel, they had the lamb in their houses and they were killing their lambs at the same time. All over Israel. And the scripture that I want us to understand is what we read at first in verse 9, that when they kill this lamb, they should eat everything. They should eat everything. And that is how I want us to understand baptisms, because when we are eating everything, we become one with the thing becomes one with us. And you'll notice that there were three components of the lamb that God said that they should make sure they ate it. Because those were parts that the Jewish people, they disliked. And some people also dislike a sheep. Will you eat the head of a sheep? No, you don't like it. Yeah, you don't like it. Normally, you give it away to the people who come to kill your sheep and goats. You say, I will take the head. But God says that eat the head. The second component that he mentioned was the legs. I don't think you really like the legs of a lamb. Yeah. Those are parts that you say that, oh, let's dash it out. But God says that eat the legs. And then the final part is the entrails. That is the inside, the intestines. Those three things about sheep and goats we all don't like, including myself. But God says that, look, I want you to eat it, its head, its legs, and its entrails. Don't give the into whom we call it. Don't give the into whom. Because we look at the entrails, the intestines, small, large, and all those things, and they are pushing some green leaves out of it and all that. You say, no, this, take it. Add the head to it. You can cut the legs away. You can use that. But the Lord is telling us that the lamb is without spot and without blemish. So you should eat everything. You know, I'm saying this to make us understand that kind of disposition that Christians have, where they become selective of Jesus Christ. There are some things about Jesus Christ they like. There are some things about Jesus Christ they don't like. They like the fact that Jesus Christ is their savior. They don't like the fact that Jesus Christ is their controller and their Lord. They don't like to be told that they don't own themselves and that there is somebody who has bought them. The Bible says you have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't like it. They would rather want to do their own thing and take the grace of God for granted. But God wants us that we will take everything about Jesus. We don't have the luxury of selecting the chosen doctrines that we like about Jesus. He spoke about six doctrines in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. We cannot say, me, I like faith, pastor, and then let's leave all the rest. No, we have to take everything about Jesus, especially those ones that you hesitate about learning. You hesitate about really ingesting, eating. God is naming them that we should eat them. So everything about Jesus Christ should be taken. He is a savior and he is a Lord. In fact, before he became a savior, he was a Lord. It was a lordship, kingship that qualified him to stand in our stead. Because as with the king, so will it be with the rest of the species. So when he dies as a king, the whole species dies. That is it. It's a spiritual law. So we should take everything about Jesus, including what we are learning. I know there are some people too who prefer certain ministries. They don't prefer certain ministries. You see, when it is a prophetic ministry, they like it. They like it. But when it is maybe a pastoral ministry or a teaching ministry, whatever, they don't like it. They choose which one they like. But Jesus is everything. Jesus is the fivefold ministry. I hope you understand that. Yeah, Jesus is a fivefold ministry. He had everything in him before he left. So we don't have the luxury, you know, saying, of choosing that me, I like evangelist ministry. Not any other ministry. Jesus says that I want you to eat everything. Everything should be eaten by us without any choice. You don't have a choice when it comes to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus was something else. He was prophet, priest, and king. You can't take one and leave the other. I've heard people say that you are either a priest or you are a king. No, it's not like that. Don't cut yourself off the things that Jesus Christ was. He was a prophet, priest, and king. As a matter of fact, that is how he was tempted in the book of Matthew chapter 4. He was tempted, first of all, to be a false prophet. When the devil said that, command the stone to become bread. And Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded, present continuous, out of the mouth of God. So the devil was tempting Jesus just to go by bread. Bread in the Bible is talking about doctrine, revelation. But Jesus says, no, you should not live just by the written word of God, black and white scriptures. You should live also by every word that is coming out of the mouth of God. And that is how a prophetic ministry thrives, by the word that is proceeding, present continuous, out of the mouth of God. Now, he was tempted to be a false priest when the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, full of priests going about their duties, and said that he should jump himself down because angels would take care of him. Jesus said, no, he wasn't going to do that. He was tempted to be a false king when the devil tempted him, took him to the mountaintop and said that, look, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me, talking about the glory of this world, all of the beautiful things in the world, says I will give it to you. Jesus said, no, I'm going to be the king. I'm not going to be the king the way that you want me to be a king, a false king. I'm going to go God's way. So, prophet, priest, and king, we must take everything. Hallelujah. So, we want to examine every part of the Lord Jesus Christ and make use of him. Because we are supposed in baptism to be dipped into him so that we become one with Jesus Christ altogether. Look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. I want us to look at the first four or so points that we have under the results of baptism by the Holy Spirit, which makes us Christians. The Holy Spirit takes a repentant person, dips him into Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You get into Christ by the Holy Spirit baptizing you, dipping you into Jesus, making you part of the body of Christ, part of Jesus, one with Jesus. So the believer, his spirit is one with Jesus. And that's what 1 Corinthians 6, 17 says. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So as you listen, you understand if you're a believer that your spirit is one with Jesus. Wow, that's powerful. 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 The implications are far-reaching. If you understand that your spirit is one with Jesus, then you know that whatever thing Jesus Christ catches, your spirit can catch. Your spirit has that potential. It's a brand new spirit. Hallelujah. So, whatever Jesus Christ wants to put on your spirit is capable of receiving it. Because we are living in a new covenant where he writes his law in our minds and on our hearts. And no one shall teach the other saying, know the Lord. All shall know me. Because of the receptacle, your spirit is so sensitive. And you need to bear this in mind and confess it to yourself all the time. That my spirit is receptive, my body is quickened, and my soul is also acted upon by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because if you read the Bible also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16, what does it tell us over there? Those of you who went through this material, you understand that 1 Corinthians 2 16 tells us that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So it isn't just your spirit that is one with Christ. Your mind is also one with Christ. And you need to confess that your mind is active. Your mind has been acted upon by God, by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Your mind is one with Jesus, because you have the mind of Christ. Collectively, we have the mind of Christ. As a church, we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. That is why you need to know that that says the Lord is not in the mind of one person or in the heart of one person. That says the Lord is in the hearts of all of the people of God. Because we know in part and we prophesy always in part. So if you want to know, thus says the Lord, whatever thing God is speaking everywhere, we put it together and we get a complete picture of the mind of God, of thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. So it is wonderful for you to know that you have the mind of Christ. And it is wonderful for you to know that that does not mean that you do not open up to other people's opinions about things. Yeah, because you know in part. Because if you don't take care, you take it to your experience. Hey, pastor, it means that I don't need anybody. It's not so. Hallelujah. You need to open up, because that says the Lord. The mind of God is given to all of us. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 30 tells us something also very powerful. What does it say? Ephesians 3 and then verse what? Ephesians 5 verse 30 says what? Get there. I want to show you something there.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
For we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. Wow, that's great. The Bible tells us that we are part of the body of Jesus Christ. So, look at the second result of this baptism. Second result of this baptism. The new believer becomes identified with Jesus Christ spiritually. In other words, physically, you don't look like Jesus. But we know no man after the flesh. Spiritually, you look just like the Lord Jesus, because your spirit is joined with Him, your soul is joined with Him, and your body also becomes one with Jesus Christ. We will explore it as we go along, but I want you to underline the word identified. You know, you are identified with Jesus Christ. What does it mean? It means that your old ID is put aside. And you are using somebody's ID. Have you ever used somebody's ID before? Oh, maybe in life you have not. But spiritually, we do use the ID of Jesus. It's like you are going somewhere and you are not permitted, and you have the ID of Jesus Christ, maybe around your neck or in your hand, and you show it, and they open the door for you. Wow. Where you should not go, you are able to go. Yeah. What ordinarily you cannot do, you are able to do, just because you are wielding a new ID. Sometimes we are too conscious of our old ID. We don't want to put our old ID aside. Our old ID, we don't want to put it aside. So we are always visiting the old. We said last Sunday that look, all things have become new. All things have become new. And that is the truth of faith. If you don't believe it, you make God a lie. Yeah, you make God a liar. And it's possible for somebody to do that. Make God a liar. Some people think that it is humility if you say that, well, as for us, we don't deserve anything. As for us, we are worms, we are frogs. All those things are in the Old Testament. In the New, you are not a worm. Although Job may say that, or David may say that, but you are not a worm. Hallelujah. Why? Because you are one with Jesus. The old is gone. It is not humility for us to say those things. Actually, if you read the Bible, God calls it stubbornness. Yeah, He calls it stubbornness. That me, Almighty God, I say that you are a new creation, you are a brand new person, and you are saying otherwise. Says that you are being stubborn. Yeah. Read Psalm 81. You understand from the very first verse. That you see, when God tells you that I have made you so and so, and I am sending you with all of this ID into the world, please don't behave like Moses. You know, Moses was sent by God, says that go and deliver my people out of Egypt. And Moses was making excuses to God. It got to a time God became very annoyed with Moses, and he nearly killed Moses. Yeah, because the excuses were too much. One time he told Moses, didn't I make the mouth of a man? Because Moses told him that, Lord, I'm a stammerer. God solves it, and Moses brings something else. At a certain point, Moses said, oh God, you send somebody you want to send. Because as for me, I am not capable. It's not humility. It is stubbornness that Moses was showing. And God does not want his children to be stubborn. He wants to be believed. He wants it that when he says, I've given you a new ID, you use a new ID. That is how you glorify God. That is how God becomes happy about you. Hallelujah. So these are some of the things we are learning. You are identified with Jesus. His name becomes something that you can use. And if you go into the Greek, the word translated name is onuma, and it means character and power. So you have his name, if you are a believer, means that you have his character. That is why you don't go reminding God about your old character. You say that I'm a new person. I overcome this issue. This is not a problem for me. You behold the glory of the Lord Jesus, so that you are changed by the Spirit of God into what you see. Hallelujah. So let us take our identity with Jesus, or should I say our identification with Jesus, let us take it a little more seriously than we do, so that we can please God and so that we can do the things that God wants us to do. Because we are a new breed of human beings. We are a new creation. We are a new creation, new breed of human beings. They were old human beings. Now we are new human beings in the new covenant. That is why God doesn't do some things to us that he was doing in the old. Because the way he sees you now is different from the way he sees the Old Testament people. Why? Because of Jesus. Let's move on. The second thing that we want to talk about tonight, about the results of being identified, being baptized, dipped into Jesus Christ, oneness with Christ, is that you are set free from the law of sin and death. And I want us to go to the book of Romans chapter 8. You are set free. If you are a Christian, you are set free from the law of sin and death. I'll explain that law to you. Because there is a law in Jesus Christ. And when you get into Jesus, that law is made operational. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Two laws. One is the law of the Spirit of life. The other one is the law of sin and death. Let me explain the law of sin and death to us in Romans chapter 7. You know, this is how the law of sin and death operates. It is a law that is embedded in your body. It is embedded in your old nature. It is so embedded over there that when you want to do good, you cannot do the good. But when you want to do bad, when you do not want to do bad, you find yourself doing the bad. And that is what Paul described in Romans chapter 7. Let's read some few verses in verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. In other words, what I want to do, the good I want to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The law of sin is in operation. It's a law. It's in operation. It must work Alright? Now, look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do the right thing. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Come to verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. In other words, I want to do the wonderful things God wants me to do. I want to do it with my mind. I want to do it. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, the law of sin and death, that is how you can describe it. It prevents you. It's a law. You see, like the law of gravity, no matter how you jump, you must come down because there is a law in operation. The law of sin and death, the good you want to do, you cannot do it because there is a law. There is a gravity that's bringing me down. I want to go up to God. I want to fly up to God. But a law is bringing me down. Paul says, I'm a wretched person. How am I going to free myself? He says that, I thank God who did it through Jesus Christ, my Lord. It is from there that he entered into Romans chapter 8. And he described, he put into clear terms this law in operation. That it is the law of sin and death. And that when you are dipped into Christ, the law of sin and death ceases to operate. Pastor, does it mean that if you're a believer, you never sin? It does not mean that. What it means is that you now have a higher power. That if I want to go up, I can go. I'm no more wretched. If I decide that I am going up to heaven, flying up as a human being from this earth, I can go. Because there is a higher law that defies the law of sin and death. That is called the law of the spirit of life. Where is that law? It is a law that is operating in Christ Jesus. So when you are in Christ Jesus, you have a higher power over your old nature to overcome. So that if you decide, I am going to do this good, now as a believer, you have the power to do that good. Hallelujah. It is just like now we can go. We have rocket science. NASA, the Russians have it. Other people, other nations have it. Now they can defy gravity. If they decide we are going to space, they can go. How did they get there? By a higher law. Our higher law is the law of the spirit of life, which is operational in Christ Jesus. Pastor, what does it all mean? It means that you must be aware in your life, if you're a believer, you are in Christ, that you have access to a means of shooting up against the law of gravity, against the law of sin and death. You can do the good that you must do. Hallelujah. It's not possible if you are not in Christ Jesus. That is why some people say, oh, Pastor, I want to stop smoking. I can't stop. I want to stop humanizing. I can't stop. I know homosexuality is bad, but I can't stop. Pastor, I know lying is bad, but if I don't want to lie, I just say, see that I've lied. That's wretchedness. Thanks be to God who delivers us. Are you excited about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? It's a superior law. It's a powerful law. Hallelujah. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And then verse what? James chapter 1. And then verse 13 to 16. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Lust is called his desire, bad desire. He is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. I want to explain the process to you. That law of sin and death. Alright? It says that God doesn't tempt anybody. So, don't think that God is tempting you when a temptation comes along your way. God doesn't tempt. He cannot be tempted. He doesn't tempt. Okay? It says about you are tempted as a human being, as a believer, when you are drawn away of your own lust, your own desire. Okay? And enticed. It means that the thing starts, as it were, with you. You don't control your desires. And then you are enticed. Okay? You are enticed. What is the next process? And when lust has conceived, you know, when the desire, you can nurse that wrong desire until the desire becomes pregnant. It conceives, you see. And then, what is the next process? It brings forth unto sin. So bad desires is a womb that conceives sin. But you can control your desires and be able to stop sin, the bad things that you should not do. Okay? You should control your desires in order for you to overcome sin. Because if you still toy with those bad desires, what will happen is that through enticing, it will become pregnant. And then when it becomes pregnant, it will bring forth to sin. And the Bible says that sin, when it is finished, it brings forth to death.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.